Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, first mate, and Mike the Mariner rounding out the crew as we attempt to navigate the latest boating news and information. Barry the Boater still winding down his business, and he needed a little bit more time off to manage some things, some movement of furniture. He tried to offload a 400-pound filing cabinet off on me this week, Mike. I was like, wait, what am I supposed to use this as an anchor for a boat or something? What the hell? What do you got in this thing?
Just light it on fire.
Yeah, he said, it's fireproof. It has cement in it. And I'm like, okay, I'll have to pass. But we'll get the lowdown next week from old Barry the Boater when he rejoins the crew. But Mike and I are going to navigate accordingly. We got a couple interesting little tidbits to kind of discuss, like the most common at sea emergency. This might surprise you. We're going to delve into that. Also, we got a couple interesting stories on a new vessel from Boston Whaler. I got bourbon on the mind. I just booked a trip to the Bourbon Trail. Yeah. So Boston Whaler has come out with a new 330 vessel with a different type of hull. We're going to discuss that. But before we get into those and a couple other little news nuggets to navigate through today, I came across a story about how to properly beach your boat. You know, and this isn't an afterthought, like you've run aground and you're, you know, which we've discussed many times in the past. No, this is intentional. So, like, you're going out to a raft up with fellow boaters and jet skiers. You know, sometimes they'll go out to a sandbar, and you might have a small enough vessel where you, you know, kind of just launch the boat up on the sandbar there. And then when you're done hanging out with your friends, you back out and stuff. You can get yourself into serious trouble if you do this improperly. Right. I mean, you got tides to you think about and stuff like that. But the article brought up some several interesting tidbits that I didn't take into account. And first off, let me ask you, Mike, have you ever done that yourself in any vessel you've owned over the years or no?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Common, you know, the certainly up and down the St. John's River and along the east coast of Florida. There's a place called Disappearing Island that we go to in New Smyrna. Yeah. Beaching is a very common practice for us.
Right. Disappearing Island.
Not with the boat we have now, but.
Yeah, would disappear when the tide rises, and then it reappears when it's low.
Yes,
kind of thing. Yeah,
yes, and a few times a year, somebody shows up with a a larger boat, like a 35 footer, maybe even a 40 footer, and they get in close and anchor to the island, and of course the tide goes out, and there they are. You know,
well, exactly.
Resting on their side.
I guess that's the first thing you got to take into account. Make sure you know what the tides are because you put your boat up on the sandbar and then it goes out farther than you expected. And next thing you know, you can't get it back off into the
water. Exactly. Yeah. So, I've seen that happen many times.
Yes. That's just bad luck and bad planning issue. Yeah. But some of the things that were brought up in the article were things on how it could affect your keel if you bring it up on the sandbar. And I really never thought about that. I always think, obviously you wouldn't bring your boat up onto rocks or anything like that, but just bringing it up on, even on a sandbar can eventually, or erode the gel coat on a fiberglass boat or something.
Yeah, it's just like sandpaper. So you're nosing your boat in and you see this very, very frequently. If you go to places like what we call the Redneck Riviera, which is Fort Florida on the St. John's River, which is a popular destination for folks to go beach their boats and hang out on the sand.
Right.
On the side of the river. People that are there a lot, you'll look at their boats and you will see that their gel coat is worn off at the forepeak of, you know, where the bow is, you know, where under the water line. And it will require extra maintenance, re-gel coating. And if you have bottom paint, it will rub the bottom paint off. But, you know, that's not really terrible damage. It's just how you're using your boat. It becomes a maintenance procedure to make sure you keep up with, because once you start eroding the gel coat and things like that over time, if your boat stays in the water for a long time, then water will permeate into the fiberglass structure itself, which, you know, again, can cause blistering and some other stuff, but it's just a maintenance procedure.
Necessarily cause it to sink with like a hole or anything, but it can
not unless you hit the beach at 40 miles an hour.
Well, there's that. The weaker it gets, I guess. Yeah, there's always that slight potential. But yeah, I would think it would just look like bad form. If you're towing your boat in and out of the dock there at the boat dock and people see it's all rubbed off on the front of the keel, like, there's an amateur. You think that kind of conversation?
No, not really.
No?
That's just how they're using their boat. I mean, if you go to any given boat ramp along the St. John's River, you'll see many boats put up on their trailer with rub marks.
Skid marks.
Bow.
Is that the right way to term to
not
use?
not skid marks, but
okay.
I guess they are in a way, but but no, you'll see a lot of boats like that, and that's just because that's how they're using the boat, and that's fine. It just, you know, a couple of times a year, you probably want to gel coat it, or after the season, re-gel coat the bottom and reapply some bottom paint to that spot that you're wearing out, because, you know, it's a normal use for, small skiffs and, bow riders and boats like that.
Well, it brings up the option of getting a keel guard. Have you ever considered putting one of those on there?
Well, so yes, and a lot of people do. There is a product that you can buy for your bow that's an adhesive strip that goes into that area where your forepeak is.
Is it like a strip of flex tape that you see the guy on
kind
the commercial?
Yeah. It kind of is. It's like a polyurethane tape that does protect your gel coat from beaching like that. So that's another option.
Yeah.
And it's a viable option. So, I've seen people do that quite a bit.
All right. Well, and the other thing it brings up, is like, okay, you got to watch the tides, obviously keep an eye on your keel, if you're rubbing anything off the bottom of your vessel. But, when you're trying to get back off into the water, some common sense, things like, if you got people on the boat with you, have them come to the back of the vessel before you're trying to pull it off the sandbar. You want to have the nose kind of lift up a little bit, or use weight to your advantage, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the things I see quite often is someone will, they'll lower their motor, they'll get everybody in, they'll, take the anchor. Typically, you toss an anchor up onto the beach, or you tie a line off to a tree stump or something. But what you really want to try to do is float your boat into the water that's deep enough for your motor to run, rather than lower your unit and put the boat in reverse and kick up a bunch of sand. Right. All of that stuff ends up in your intake and goes through your water pump and degrades, because your water pump, the impeller is made out of rubber, and, sand will destroy that in a red hot minute if you're not careful. And then suddenly you're halfway back to your boat ramp and your engine's running hot and you're wondering why. Well,
just ingested a bunch of gunk in there that gummied up the works. Yeah. So, but use weight to your advantage in that sense too. I mean, like you said, float it, but have everybody move to the stern of the vessel. Don't be trying to pull it back into the water or push it back into the water with everybody up front and you're dragging your nose. Use those badasses to your advantage. That's the technical boating term from a captain standpoint. That's a little salty and not afraid to offend people. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Badasses to the aft.
But, you want to be careful, especially if you're beaching in an area that you're not familiar with. I've use the term speed as the key. Well, slow speed is the key in this instance. So as you're approaching the beach, you want to go extremely slow.
Right.
And the type of boat and running gear you have is important too. So we'll talk about that after the break.
We will indeed. And that's coming up next on the World of Boating. Stay close.
You're You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.